You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions. Thank you for joining me today. It is the last hour. It's the title of this devotion. You know, throughout history, we see how God gives ample warning that there comes an end to the way things are after the natural, that these things are temporal, and that we are called to live for the eternal and to take up our abode in the heavenly life, in the holy life, in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father, where Jesus has prepared a place for each and every one who come to Him, come to the Father through Him, and that all of us can come into that heavenly life because Jesus is the way there and He is available to us all. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard," and so forth. Little children, it is the last hour. Little children, he means those of you that are tender-hearted before God realize that the things that can be seen come to an end. In the days that John was living and was writing this letter, most likely by this time, Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Roman Empire, and many, many precious Jews had been slaughtered by the Roman Empire. And that is clearly known throughout history, but the Bible shows it. It happened about 70 years after Jesus ascended to the Father that the Roman Empire came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed many, many precious Jews and so forth. That's another part though. But that, it came to an end. You know, sometimes we live in a way as if these temporal things are eternal when they are not. The Bible says, "Do not look at the things that can be seen, for they are temporal, but look at the things that cannot be seen, that are eternal." And I think it is so important today that we are again in an awakening hour. I'm very serious in what I say, that we're again in an awakening hour before the First and Second World War started. There was a great upsurge in the kingdom of heaven, an incredible upsurge. You had men like Andrew Murray, D.L. Moody, and so many others, mighty men of God. Tyndale, who wrote the Tyndale Bible, was laboring in those days. E.M. Bounds, one of my favorite authors. Andrew Murray would be my most favorite author. And so many others. They were laboring in those days, and there was an upsurge of God. It's as if the end of their life was sounding the alarm that the world, as it was known in those days, the Habsburg Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Tsarist Empire, and all these different empires were coming to an end. And they did come to an end from the beginning of the world, First World War, to the second end of the Second World War was about 27 years. And all of them were gone afterwards. They didn't exist anymore. And a whole new world order came into being. Now, we have been living in that new world order. The most read book in every household, for sure here in Britain, was the Bible in those days. But now, some 100 years later, we can see again that the warning signs are screaming louder and louder and louder and louder in the world. And while we can look at that and need to realize that the alarm is being sounded, the trumpet is being sounded, there's coming, I feel it, an upsurge in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, how I feel that upsurge within me. How I feel that anointing power pulling me up into the Holy of Holies to dwell in that perfect rest of my Father and see Him work all things for the praise and glory of His name. Oh, I'm so excited to be alive. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 first and see how the Lord has shown us that we need to be alert for the day in which we are living. And it says here in Romans 13 verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep." That means just being slumbery in your weak human nature, not being spiritually alive inwardly. He says, out of sleep. "For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness." Lewdness, open sinfulness. You don't have any more conscience. Your conscience is so seared, you don't anymore care if people see you going somewhere with somebody you're not married and being in a way that's not proper. The world may think it's okay, but God does not. And we need to honor God in the way that we daily live, because that's what builds a healthy, happy society, when we fear God in the way we live. And he says, not in drunkenness or lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And this is the upsurge of God, my friends, that you feel the restraining forces of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Nay, I can't drink like that. Nay, I can't keep living in this kind of upset and strife. Nay, I cannot yield to these lust gnawing. I cannot keep harboring offense against these people and live in revelry. No, I will not. I will not live in envy and look at the people in the world and all their success and prosperity and feel I'm falling short when I have the Lord and His glory to satisfy me with more than they could ever think of. Money cannot buy the kind of riches of glory that we have. And if I then take you a little bit deeper into this, to Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." You see, people can sometimes think they can do whatever they like without having to give an account, but all will come before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. All will give an account to what they have been like in this human flesh. "And the wrath of God," the Lord warns, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and amen. For this reason, God gave them up." Three times He says He gave them up. "He gave them up to foul passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and are whisperers, gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters of and inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do it, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, this is not new to our time today, while it is becoming more and more prevalent in our day and being advocated as freedom, and anybody who would say anything against it is ostracized and persecuted. Now, I am not reading these things, I hope you see, with some spirit on kindness or cruelness or harsh judgment. No, the opposite. Because even we who maybe not partake of these lifestyles cannot boast in ourselves except in the cross of Christ, where He paid the penalty for our sins as much as theirs. And that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. That was a gift of God, that faith that came to us through Jesus. And what I want to charge you with today, that we should not be ignorant that the world is coming to the end in the way that it is, and it's rushing to it. I mean, it's full speed ahead to this. And there is such a quickening of the times that we're living in, and therefore it is so important for us to redeem the time by living worthy of God and being caught up in that upsurge of His kingdom and throwing off the works of the flesh, throwing off that spiritual laziness, throwing off anything that would hinder us from taking a hold of all that for which Christ took a hold of us. And it's so important today that we have a spirit of mercy towards people that are caught up in the spirit of the world, and that they feel there's a way of escape by coming, and we could share the freedoms that we now have through Jesus Christ from the depravity that's in this world through lust. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, says, "But we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may become partakers of the divine nature," listen, "and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust." You see, friends, when we keep drawing near to God, His Word begins to open up in us, and we begin to experience the powers of His ever-living Word written in our heart and mind, enabling us to embrace and to draw to us by that living Word in us that which is pleasing to God, and to shun from within us through that living Word that which is displeasing to God, and to be set aside, to be sanctified, to not be of this world, but to be of the kingdom of heaven. And I think that today there is this powerful upsurge of God for us to begin to live in such a way that God be glorified in us. Listen to this from the Living Bible, from Simon Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. From Simon Peter, servant and missionary of Jesus Christ, "All of you who have our kind of faith," the faith I speak of is the kind that Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, gives to us. And how precious it is, and how just and how good it is that He has given us all the same faith. Would you like to have more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better. For as you know Him better, He will give you, through His great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He will even share His own glory and His own goodness with us. And at the same time, by His mighty power, He will give us all the wonderful, rich blessing He promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us, and to give us His own character. You know, the upsurge that is here today of the kingdom of heaven drawing us out from among the world, that we're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I am not of this world. And then he prayed in John 17. He said, Father, even as I am not of this world, they are not of this world. I have sanctified them. I have set them apart in your truth, Father. Your word is truth. See, you begin to live in the reality that God is true. You worship him by the Spirit, by your Spirit made alive in that truth. It's real to you to worship him. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a religious way. It is a living, life-giving way that you receive through the Spirit of Christ in you, that you worship in the truth of God, that you rejoice in the truth of God, and you realize, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm of the kingdom of heaven. This world is passing away, but I'm living in the will of my Father in communion with him through Jesus Christ. And what a glory. And you want to give it away to everybody. You want to be a light in this world. You want to give hope to people that have tried everything but could not find satisfaction in all the world's pleasure. You want to be able to give a hand to somebody who's sinking in the mire of their own failings and weaknesses. You want to wrap your arms around a drunkard. Oh, I tell you, some years ago, we would have street people come to church all the time. I miss them. They'd come all the time, a whole bunch of them, people that lived on the streets. And one Sunday morning, this young man was sitting on the front row, I don't know, maybe 27 or something. He was sitting on the front row, and it's Sunday morning. It's probably by this time about 11:15 while I'm preaching, and the heavy alcohol smell was so strong, I could smell it standing on the podium. And my heart was so moved with the love of Christ for him. And I couldn't wait to finish the message and come down the podium. And he ran up to me the moment I came down, and he hugged me, and he cried and he cried and he cried. And he said, my papa just died. You know, Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but he came to save it by giving himself for it. And all who call upon his name shall be saved. And he comes to save us out from the sinking sand of the mire of this world. And he comes to enlighten our heart and free us from the deception of its alluring temptations and pleasures, and to show us that there is pleasure forevermore at the Father's right hand. We're predestined to live in him and him in us. And I will pray today that this upsurge of the kingdom of God is drawing you and me up into this heavenly, holy life, that we may shine brighter and brighter and see multitudes that are living in the dark, coming out of darkness into the light to see the love of God for them as he has poured it into our hearts. Amen. Have a good day.